It is All Saints Sunday. Yesterday, of course, was All Saints Day, and you mark it on the closest Sunday. And I thought you might want to know a little bit of the origin of Saints Day. One of the traditions that grew up in the earliest church was after a member of the faith died, on the year of their death, you know, people, friends, and so forth, they would all go out to the graveside and, you know, remember things and have a meal and you know, whatever was the local custom. And as time went on, that there were too many to do that with. Just you, that would be all you would be doing if that's what you did. So things were consolidated, and in various centers of the Christian faith, Antioch, Rome, Constantinople, these places, they would combine the celebrations. And usually it was sometime in the spring, sometime around Pentecost, and they would just have a big day for that to happen. That began to get even larger, and it was transferred to the fall, right after the harvest, so that the crowds could be fed. There just wasn't enough food before the harvest to feed that many people in the city. So that's what happened. That's how it went. Now, there's other things too, but that's what precipitated having All Saints today, on this day and this time of the year. Now, I think it throws another question upon us, and that other question is, what exactly is a saint? And, of course, there's the more typical and somewhat more popular definition of a saint, which is the Roman Catholic beatification process. Someone lives a pretty good life, and there's various stages that they go through, and they do some miracles. Some of them, after they die, they do some miracles and all of this, and you eventually attain sainthood. That's what a lot of people think. In our popular culture, what happens is that we translate that into our thinking, our everyday thinking, in that, well, I'm not good enough to be a saint. We have almost a completely ethical, moral definition of sainthood. So I'm hoping to disabuse you of that today. Just change your mind completely, if possible. That, of course, is up to you. I mean, not that I would take grades or mark names down or anything like that. However, scripturally, what we think of when we think of a saint is any and every Christian who ever was. If you have ever trusted Jesus, if you have ever made a step towards Him, you are a saint. Now, we're going to unpack that for a couple of minutes and see what that means. See, the position, the actual being of a saint is not something that anyone is able to reach on their own power. You do not become a saint because of you. You become a saint because of Him. Just like you do not become a Christian because of you. You become a Christian because of Him. And in fact, with that dynamic, Christian and saint are equal. They're the same. And what happens is you are made holy by the action of Jesus in your life. You don't become holy or earn holiness or sanctification or whatever it is because of what you do. You begin pursuing good works and serving others because of what Jesus has done for you. And out of that gratitude, you begin serving and giving and above all, following Him, becoming like Him. That is the process that you enter into once He has made you holy. That's first. Always. It's always first because it is always about Jesus. All the time. Everywhere. about everything. Anything you can think of, it is always about Jesus. He is always the center. And it all comes from Him. And your position before God comes from Him. Now, the other side of that is if somebody tells you that your position before God is something that you do, or you have made grievous mistakes, or you're going to be kicked out of the kingdom, or whatever it may be, or you've done so wrong here, there's just no way for you to get back in, they've lied to you. That's just not true. There's nothing true about that. God says something absolutely different, and that you are His. He looks at you no matter what's going on in your life, and He says, you are my child, and in you I am well pleased. All of that is the absolute truth and the case for everyone, and those who begin stepping into that because God pushed them are saints. So, you know, aren't you glad you came today? I got to find my copy of the bulletin. Oh, here it is. Now, what I want to do is describe what that means for our lives. And in the epistle reading today, the reading from 1 John, there is a phrase there which Bobby read very carefully, by the way. I was very appreciative of that. I guess it's the third sentence in, "Beloved, we are God's children now." See, that's what I just told you. See, what we will be has not yet been revealed. So that means there's something going on now that we don't know what it is, but it's working in us. We just don't know what it is. See, through each other, we begin to see what it is to hear the call of God on our lives, to answer that call, and to begin to find our way back if we turn away from that call or slip. Or sin, if you want to get religious about it, and how we come back. Through each other, we do that because we are all His children. We're all saints. We're all Christians, all in that family. And through each other, we see more than we would see all on our own. In fact, when there is a conflict among us or a difficulty or something goes wrong or somebody really does mess up, if you will, the quality of forgiveness, the ability for us to forgive and reopen the door comes from Jesus. And as we work, allow Him to work in us and through us, then we see that there's a calling on this one who has missed the mark, and that one's coming back. We see that through His eyes. And we help each other re-embrace the calling on our lives, the purpose for who we are. And what all this means is that we are in the place right now between the calling and the coming true. That's what our life is. It is the place between the calling and the coming true. The longings you feel, the loneliness you feel, the feeling of never being understood, or not being where you're supposed to be, or never having done what you thought you were able to do. That comes, that's there in everyone, because we were all in the place between the calling and the coming true. And no matter what you produce, or do, or accomplish, there is always some longing that's yet to be satisfied, because it's not all come true yet. But that, what we are called to, keeps drawing us. And we keep going, and we have a great time, a great experience, a great set of relationships, and then there's still something churning in there. And that is the Spirit of God. That is the love of Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit working on you. And we will resist that. In fact, my richest pastoral suggestion to you this morning is that if you resist something from God, the calling of God, the step of God, if you think, well, that's not for me to do, or why isn't it right the way I've always done it up until now, or whatever it may be, if that's what you're thinking and you're resisting things like that, I want to suggest to you that it's because there is a picture of what we will become in your mind. And that picture would be inaccurate. Because what we will be has not yet been revealed. We get certain pictures in our minds from, you know, from this or that, this place or that place, or, you know, family dynamics, some preacher, I don't know. You can get it from anywhere. But it would be inaccurate, probably inaccurate in the sense that it is way too small. And every time Jesus begins touching that picture and stretching it and opening it up, it's easy to think, oh, wait a minute, what are you doing? Because that picture is where we are thinking is the answer to our longing. If I can just get to this, if I can just get to this, if I can just get to this, that is the prompting of the Spirit of God to be thirsting after Him. And He will, you'll take a step and He will stretch you. He will make you feel uncomfortable. Or whatever you may wish to call that experience. Because we are between the calling and the coming true. Now, how do we proceed from this point on? What would we do? What would be the steps that we might take? And the steps are very easy, but very crucifying. And the steps really are focusing on Jesus. What would Jesus want? Right now, at this moment. Or perhaps a better question for some of us would be, who is Jesus to you right now? And have Him speak that. It's very easy when we're using that ethical, moralistic approach, those set of lenses, to be asking the opposite question, who does Jesus want me to be, and why isn't it good enough the way I already am? And what the Spirit of God is doing is asking us to flip that question, and who is God to me right now? Because He will pour His Spirit upon me again. See, one of the things that is tempting to be thinking about as a way of looking at the Christian life is to call it a journey. And that is helpful. And some churches even say, call themselves Journey Church. We're all on the journey together. And you may like that. There's things I like about it. However, there is a downside to looking at life that way. One step every, well, you're going down the path, and it's this. It can downplay the significance of right now. This present moment is important and significant and rich and full, and it is the moment in which you are loved by God. It is the moment that the voice of God is calling you to Himself. It is the actual time of engagement with God right now. The way you are right now, you are loved by God as fully as you will be into eternity. At this moment, in this place, in this room, among these people, coming to this table this morning, you and I are significant and important to the Spirit of God and to the purpose of God. And you have a calling upon your life that will never be taken away and never lifted. And at this moment, that calling is active and rich and strong and defines who you are. And it comes from God and His love for you, because you are His. You are His child. You are one of the saints of God. Now, I'm not saying never plan anything. What I'm saying is, everything in every moment is significant and loved by God. If you are studying something right now, the actual moment of your study and preparation is significant and important and as rich in God's sight as when you graduate or fulfill the course or do whatever you're doing or learn from the person you're learning from. The preparation time is as significant as the completion and going on. And that's because our whole life is like that, because we are between the calling and the coming true. If you are in any transition at all, that transition is something that God cherishes, and you in it. Do you remember when Israel was in the wilderness? God was with them every day, and there were miracles every single day, and the presence of God was unmistakable every day. It was a huge pillar of fire at night. You couldn't miss the presence of God. And God fed you every day, miraculously. When they crossed into the promised land, the miracle stopped. There was no pillar of fire. There was no manna from heaven. It's in the time between the calling and the coming true that the presence of God is very powerful and very significant. It is this moment right now. The people that you are with today, the ones you chat with in the coffee hour, all extremely important and of the highest priority right now. Sometimes we can resist that, and we can feel as if we've been corrected. And all God is doing is opening a little wider your ability to see His presence, not only directly but through other people. By the way, as I've reminded you from time to time, it is the answer to the prayer we often pray, "Open the eyes of my heart." That can be a tad stretching and painful when they're opened. Because I'd rather see what I've always seen. But that's how the ministry increases. That's how the church increases. That's how the grace of God as we experience it increases, when we see more of Jesus. Now, if I can sum this up in another, hopefully, memorable phrase. When we are coming at the Christian faith through an ethical, moralistic approach, you do right and you'll be all right. Underneath, we will always know that we're not doing right, that there's something not right. All the time. I mean, we are sinners, right? I was hoping for a little more enthusiasm with the others, but yes, okay. What we want, when that is our lens, we want to feel better. We don't want to feel bad. Because we already feel bad about ourselves, you know, and we don't want anyone else making us feel bad. But when we have that moralistic, ethical way of looking at the faith and perhaps the world, there is no way out of that except to expect people to help you feel better. But I'm tempted to say, oh, I'll say it. Good luck with that, okay? And that, you know, it's moralistic, it's therapeutic, and it's deistic. It's not the Christian God that we start looking for from that. It's a God who's out there who may, if he thinks of it, notices, come and help us possibly. But it's still our responsibility for everything. And that really brings us to always looking to help have people help us feel better. When we look at the Christian faith as that time between the calling and the coming true, what we are going through is a period of transformation. And that transformation is to become more and more and more like Jesus all the time. Now, you will need some handles occasionally so that you need, because you'll need to overcome something, or there's something painful you need to deal with, or whatever it may be, or you just don't know what to do. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Jesus does have the name of Wonderful Counselor. However, it is not the overall picture. The overall picture is Him transforming us into His likeness. We know this. When He is revealed, we will be like Him, where we will see Him as He is. That's where we're heading, to be like Him. It's just the path between now and then is a little different than perhaps we would have pictured it, because the end has not yet been revealed. So you trust Him, sometimes called faith, to follow Him wherever He leads you. See, part of what that means is that the gospel is not a set of principles or ideas or doctrines that you agree with, and if you don't agree with them, then you're out. It's nothing like that. The gospel is an experience of life. It's the life of God in all of its fullness as He has begun to come after us. And every engagement with Jesus is an engagement with that life. And as you let that life flood into your heart and into your soul, and then through you out to others, you find that you're on that path between the calling and the coming true. And that is, there are times when that is a very powerful, wonderful time together, and there are other times when it can be very crucifying. But it is all to the end of what will be revealed and us becoming fully like Him. That's what All Saints Day is about. We see that through each other. We see that through other saints who've been in history. And we have the opportunity to walk in it now. And not only individually, but together. And over the next couple of weeks here at St. Francis, we're going to be looking at how that works together. What kind of church do we see Jesus in and through each other? And a large part of that will be revisiting the gifts that we looked at in the spring, and how that's a portion of what Jesus gives you, and how you share, when you share that, others around you are seeing more of Him than they would otherwise. So would you be attentive to the Spirit of God this week as He says, take this step, because that's one more step towards the coming true.